Hi, friends.
Hello, Poppets.
Howdy, y'all.
And welcome to Muppets Sex and Trauma. I'm Sara Ezash. I make the Costume Codex videos.
And my name is Jack Cram, right-hand man and editor for Passion of the Nerd and editor for Chipperish Media.
And my name is Josh Gosden, and I'm just a big old nerd.
And that's enough. And today we're going to be discussing the episode Thrown for a Loss. Thrown for a Loss was written by Richard Manning and directed by Pino Amenta. The crew of Moya have agreed to meet with a species called the Tabloids, who use a kind of steroid gauntlet as a weapon. Rigel is posing as a king to negotiate a fee for Moya hauling cargo for them. Things go awry, and the Tableks kidnap Rigel for ransom. In the firefight, one of the Tableks is left behind on Moya, knocked unconscious and losing his gauntlet. The crew consider leaving Rigel behind, except he has a controlled crystal of Moya's with him. From here, the plot splits in three. We have Rigel on the planet, repeatedly trying and failing to escape. We have Aaron, John, and Dargo messing around with the gauntlet while repeatedly trying and failing to rescue Rigel. And we have Zahn on Moya, who chooses to help the Tablek boy left behind. Tries to help him give up the addictive steroid of the gauntlet. Something she will eventually fail at as well.
No sermons.
In the end, after every plan has failed, John admits to the Tablek leader the truth. They've got nothing to bargain with.
No one is gonna pay his ransom.
So why not just give him back?
Take this royal pain out of my sight.
Finally, everyone is back on Moya, somewhat humbled for the day's events, and Aaron and Dargo are beginning to respect each other a little, and John is starting to settle into life in the uncharted territories.
Straight off the bat, my first thought going into the episode, like once it started, was I felt as though the characters were super familiar with each other, considering this was only an episode two. Sorry, you mentioned that the episode order is all mixed up and There doesn't seem to be a clear answer. I just got the vibe that, yeah, the characters were super familiar with each other for an episode two. And so I found that a little confusing, I guess. Just a nitpick, but yeah, that's sort of how I felt.
I had a very similar nitpick, Jack. And this is just off the top of my head. I haven't like rehearsed this at all. I was thinking about the beginning of the episode, and there's like two lines of dialogue that explains what's about to happen. But they did it in such a way that made it seem like maybe there's, you know, like they'd been doing this for a little while, but I'm not sure that that's what is actually true. Because they're like, we're trying to find a job, we're trying to get some money, and I was like, oh, that's where y'all landed? Like, you're, you know, a bunch of prisoners, you decided to form a business together? Okay.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, I thought we would have spent a little more time with the characters getting to know each other and getting a certain comfort with each other, especially like Crichton and Aaron. They seem like super, like, comfortable with each other, even though there was lots of tension between them. They still seem very familiar. Oh, I see those eyebrows there, huh? You're spoiling a little bit, huh?
am I, or is there another reason why the camera would have them throw into each other every five seconds?
Well, I mean, it's very obvious something's going to go down there. Like, it's very obvious.
My thought, though, while I was watching it was maybe this is why the episode wasn't episode two, because of how, like, immediately it puts us right in there. Having not watched the one yet that aired second, that's just my...
The one that often airs second in the States particularly actually has them a lot more familiar with each other than this. We do sort of jump into them knowing each other. This one, they're still working out their dynamics. You see that they don't work very well together, which is why they fail at everything.
Yeah.
In this plot. And we get a lot of prejudice between Aaron and Dargo about their... respective races, and that is something we will see them start to, you know, get along better. So I think we skipped a bit of them, the get to know you stuff, and they're just, you know, doing the Firefly thing. They're just trying to get some money so they can keep some POTUS, keep Moya flying, you know.
Right.
So yeah, it is a bit of a jump, but Farscape does that sometimes. Sometimes it tends to be like, hey, let's just jump straight into the plot.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but I just found it a little not jarring. But I was like, oh, okay, we're just getting straight into it then. No more introductions.
Like, it's definitely not one of the best episodes.
No, like. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it either.
We go up from here. There are worse episodes, but there are definitely get much better.
Right. I still had fun with it, though. I mean, there was some giggles and there was some, okay, cool. And yeah.
So which bit should we talk? Should we talk about the plot first? We'll look at Rigel's plot to begin with. The trying to escape after being kidnapped.
Mm-hmm. Rigel, I don't have a ton to say about his plot, except for it was just fun. Like, Rigel's still my favorite. He's so sassy and hilarious and gross, and that appeals to me. But I guess my favorite part of his plot was towards the end, where Crichton rescues him and is in the sack, and Crichton goes through every cliche in the book, you know, saying he's not worth anything and no one will pay the ransom, and that he's sick and he's insane and all of that stuff, until he's just like, okay, whatever. And yeah, he just gives up on trying to fool him, I guess, fool the guy.
Yeah, I was cackling along with that too, and I liked the gag of, you know, every time Crichton would come up with a new lie, Rigel was just rolling with it. Like, he was like, he's sick, and the bag would start coughing. He's like, he's insane, and he started babbling, and like, yeah, that was funny for me.
Yeah, and the banter between Rigel and Jathob, is that the name?
Jothab.
Yeah, the banter between those two was entertaining and fun.
Yeah, the Cthulhu looking critter.
Yeah, yeah, I just kept calling him Cthulhu face in my head.
Yeah, again, some great puppetry there. Like, they really go all out. Like, it's very convincing and fun.
I'm quite fond of Rigel's attempt to do the Great Escape, but keep failing, and he, you know, he dies at one point and gets revived.
Yeah, what was up with that? That was shocking to me, because it wasn't necessarily then he died, but he gets his neck like stepped on. Like, that was pretty brutal.
Yeah, I was unclear. Like, it was almost like he just waved smelling salts over him, and I was like, but how does that fix his windpipe?
I don't know. Cthulhu's got some kind of magic powers.
Sure. Yeah. Alien's gonna alien, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Alien's gonna alien, and we don't know how Rigel works.
Yeah. I found it shocking, but I was just like, he's not dead, though. He's not dead. Just no.
No, I thought he passed out. I didn't think he died.
Yeah.
Just the things you can do with a puppet.
Yeah. Well, sure.
And by the way, listeners, if you're not a fan of Rigel, that's okay. He is one of those characters. You can love him, you can hate him, you can love to hate him.
I just like gross and disgusting characters. I'm open to the fact that my favorite character is probably going to change.
I like him. I like it. It seems like there's a potential for some humility in terms of, like, actions have consequences, because he keeps just doing shit, and, you know.
Yeah, he's such a... He's an almost hedonistic character, and
yes,
characters like that typically get their comeuppance or whatever. So that'll be cool to see if something happens there.
He is great for instigating plot.
Clearly.
I mean, who else is going to take the, you know, control crystal and be like, I'll just decorate my scepter with this.
Right.
Oh, and I'll make sure you have to take me with you by eating it.
Yeah, that was clever. I liked that part. There was a point in Rigel's plot, and there were a couple of points in this episode where it seemed like they were making an effort to, if not subvert, they kept setting up these conventional kind of plots. But then the resolution for each one of them just had a little bit of a different spin on it than what I was expecting.
Yeah.
And the point at which Jothab Cthulhu, Mr. JC, was, you know, he was in his cell, and Dargo and Crichton burst in, and they're like, we'll get you out of here too, buddy, come on. And he was like, no, I'm good. Like, that, I wasn't expecting that. So that was surprising to me, because, you know, it's a kidnapping plot. He's been kidnapped. But for him to be like, no, man, they're paying my ransom. Like, I'm just hanging out. You guys, you know, don't worry about me. I'm good. That's not how I would react to a kidnapping.
Right, yeah.
Like, I would take any opportunity that presented itself to run. I wouldn't just sit there and be like, man, we got a deal worked out already.
Yeah, like, you're going to get out as quickly as you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
You would be Rigel, just everything you can do to escape.
Yes.
Speaking of, like, subversions and whatnot, one thing I do love about, like, the show in general so far is how it's doing its own thing. Like, towards the beginning of the episode, John is, or Crichton, whatever we're going to call him, both names are correct. He's referencing, you know, traditional Earth sci-fi. He says, you know, the tractor beam, and Pilot's like, what? And yeah, I just love that rather than going by traditional sci-fi convention and ideas, their show is coming up with its own ideas and its own sort of lore. And like, for example, towards the end of the episode when Dargo's wounded and Aaron starts pounding on him, she says something about how the wound isn't cleansed until the blood flows clearly. I've never seen anything like that in any other sci-fi. Also, you can't tell me that Dargo wasn't enjoying being pounded on. Like, he was liking that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just appreciate that the show's doing its own thing, and that's cool.
Yeah, the Farscape twist. There's always there's always something. They like to frell with your expectations a little. Have you noticed the language?
I keep seeing that word pop up all over the internet. Now I'm aware of it. Yeah.
There's a whole dictionary of Farscape language. We've got frell. I think we know what that means. There's dren. I can't be having with this dren, for example.
I haven't heard dren yet. I know I've heard frell.
Yes. There'll be more. What the hezmata?
It's okay.
Just anything that you know, it's a feature of Farscape. You will notice it. As is John's pop culture. We picked up the give me the tractor beam thing. And then there's also his entire discussion of John Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I liked, getting back to Dargo and Aaron, I liked their interactions on the planet. I really liked the scene after, is Aaron or Arwen?
Aaron,
okay. I liked the scene after Aaron gets rid of the gauntlet and both of them are just in the woods and they're just real hungover together and just, you know, bantering, riffing off of each other. They have really good chemistry.
Yeah, yes, they do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to see like a buddy cop film with the two of them where they have to team up and get along to defeat the bad guy. That'd be so much fun. Yeah, they're just really great. And let's talk about the gauntlet for a second, because
talk about the gauntlet.
This is by no means an indictment of the show, but it's basically the ring from Lord of the Rings, right? It makes the user more powerful and it possesses them in a way. I mean, I thought it was cool and interesting, but the first thing I thought was, hey, that's the Ring of Power or whatever it's called.
I was just like, that's drugs.
Yeah, I went to, it's steroids.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. True. That makes more sense. Yep.
I went to drugs and I went to... Then that turned the tabloids into a street gang.
To have Lex.
I like that that joke. That's fun.
Yeah, the whole episode. She was like, tab Lex.
But the gauntlet was cool. But yeah, I didn't see the drug parallel until now. I just thought.
They were about as subtle as.
Right.
Yeah. You know, once I got the Lord of the Rings thing in my head, that's all I saw. But
that's what happens with the ring. Once the ring is in your head, Jack.
Yeah, no, I deserve this. I do. I'm tired, okay? 9:41 a.m.
Okay, if we're gonna talk about the drug thing, should we move on to Zan's Just Say No? Zan doing her, the... Nancy Reagan bit.
Wow.
Wasn't quite Nancy Reagan.
Yeah. I know. Not
a little warmer, I would say.
A little naked.
A little more practical, yeah.
Yeah.
Nancy Reagan was Just Say No. Zahn was Drugs Are Complicated.
This is true. Yeah.
Can I just say, Zahn, once again, she's making me feel some things, man. Like... Oh, wow. What a sultry goddess.
Yes, she is beautiful.
Yeah, and I really loved the scene where the tub like...
Lex.
Tries to, gross her out with, like, showing her his dangly bits. And she's just like, bitch, I'm beautiful. And she drops her robe. I'm like, and I don't just like it because, ooh, naked, whatever. Like, I thought that was just a really, how do I explain this?
Is nudity a taboo in your culture?
Yeah, yeah. It was just a very, like, it shows how like, liberated and sort of forward-thinking Zahn is, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I really enjoyed that scene. And the whole plot was beautiful. Like, she was trying to help this young Tavlek. And, of course she doesn't succeed, which we find out at the end there. And I hope that this plot comes back at some point. I would like to see a sort of a redemption of sorts, a redemption arc with this young Tavlek. So simply because I love me a good redemption story, and I just think it could be interesting. But I like sort of the look of disappointment and sort of like sorrow even when he lifts up his hand and he shows the gauntlet. Yeah. She's just like, it's just I don't know. I found that whole plot for me was the most compelling, and I thought it was really beautiful.
That was another point in the episode where, for me, as I was watching it, it was building towards a very conventional resolution. It was building towards him, you know, the paroled rehab tablet guy, going back down to his planet and being like, you know, maybe I can make a difference. Maybe I can make some changes or something like that. But then at the, you know, and so I have complicated feelings about this episode, you know, because I thought that was what it was building towards, which is, to me, is a very feel good American sitcom kind of a ending.
I'm a fan of.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it too, but I'm also expecting it a lot more. And then when at the very end, when he was like, my choice. And to me, I was like, oh, like that was a good little punch in the gut there. I've had experiences in my own life where any number of folks that I've encountered have willfully moved back towards toxic, damaging, and self-destructive behavior because it's familiar and because it's comfortable. And so that, seeing that moment in the episode was really like, oh, wow, they're going to spend some time maybe defying convention, but also maybe approaching it more realistically. So, you know, it was drugs, and it was drugs are bad, but it was also drugs are complicated.
Right. Yeah. Because it's very common for like someone who's, you know, into drugs or alcoholics or whatever. It's very common to relapse or to have someone try to help you. But in the end, you just can't make the change, or, you know, change is messy and complicated and difficult. And I liked that even though it was kind of it leaves you with a sad feeling, I agree, Josh, it was kind of realistic in a way. And if the guy, if the Tavlek was just like, thanks, Doc, I'm all cured now, it'd be a little like, I don't know, cliche, I guess.
Yeah, him being back on the gauntlet by the end of the episode was moving for me.
Yeah.
Especially having spent most of that plot kind of rolling my eyes a little bit.
Yeah, it was moving. I agree. Yeah. And is it Virginia Hay who mm-hmm. plays Zahn?
Yes.
She's just incredible. Like, my
she
God.
She was good. She was so good.
What do we
think of Zahn now? I know last time you guys were like, I need to know more about, I need to see more.
I love her. Yeah, we certainly did. I love her, and even though right now I think Rigel is my favorite, I think Zahn is probably gonna end up being my favorite. She has this warmth about her, and she seems to have empathy, but it's like a mystical wisdom with it, you know. And I really love that.
I have complicated feelings about Zahn so far. I'm having a hard time separating what seems to be the hook for her character, which is she's hot, versus what is actually the substance of her character, which is she's like ancient and wise and could probably wipe the floor with everybody on the ship if she wanted to.
I get that vibe too.
She's soft, but she's not weak.
Yeah.
I love that line for sure. But I wasn't as big of a fan of the scene with her and the detoxing Tavlek.
Lex.
When he flashed his junk, and then she was like, me too. Like, I don't know. I enjoy stories where especially female sexuality is empowering instead of enticing. But I'm always suspicious of it when it's written by male writers. And so far, I the hook of her being hot is kind of undercutting the substance that I'm getting from her. And it's only two episodes, and I'm looking forward to learning more about her. But when he flashes junk and then she disrobed, I was like, this is like a fan fiction I would have written in middle school.
Well, except I think the reason she's doing it, she's not doing it to entice him. She's doing the, right. Yeah. Do you really think you can shock me?
Yeah. And his reaction, he wasn't, you know, aroused or anything. He was more like confronted, mm-hmm. kind of intimidated. I really liked that scene, but I do understand your reading of it, though, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand your concern. And yes, it is a thing when we have an incredibly beautiful woman being displayed with very little clothing in two episodes out of two.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, I feel like the effect of her, does your society have a nudity taboo? Would it could have been just as much if she hadn't flashed him in return, you know?
Mm. And it is a valid concern that they're going to try and turn her into the eye candy of the show when that's, I mean, there isn't any substance in that. That's a very shallow thing if done incorrectly, I guess.
So, but I mean, at the same time, though, like, then she's got this great plot line where she's, like, powerful and she's empathetic and her she can make great cocktails from her blood. And you know, it was just really effective. And at the end, towards the end, when he when the gang leader calls up to the detoxing tabloid, the D-tab, and he's like, I'm not going to lie for you. And she goes, I'm not asking you to. Like, she just holds up the thing for him to talk into.
That was great. I forgot to write about that in my notes. Yeah, that was amazing. That I just love that she has this sort of nurturing nature about her, nurturing and very warm and like you can tell that she's a healer. Like if she was in an RPG, she would be the healer.
Yeah, we are assembling the 5-man band. A healer, we have a lancer, we have a barbarian.
Yeah, and a cleric even. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm loving Zahn so far.
I want to go back to the gauntlet a little bit. So that was also three plot lines and each of the three plot lines had a denouement that I didn't expect. And the same was true with the gauntlet. So I did expect, you know, for all of their like, this thing's dangerous, we can't use it. But they freaking brought it with them. If you believe that it was dangerous, he would have just put it in a closet on the ship or blown it up. So, of course, Aaron was going to put it on. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Crichton being like, you know, oh, my God, are you crazy? And you know, we can't use this. And then, of course, he's going to put it on. So, there, you know, that three beat was repeated in a way that I was just kind of like, okay. But the part that I didn't see coming was it running out of juice at the end. I liked that. And as soon as it started happening, I was like, oh, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Like, they've been passing this thing around, and of course it's running out of juice.
Yeah.
And so Crichton kind of having to confront the gang leader, you know, as he's coming down from his high, was really affecting also, because that, you know, his cliche attempts at getting Rigel out, like you're talking about, Jack, degraded as the drug left his system.
Yeah.
And then finally he was just like, I'm just going to tell you the truth, once he was sober.
Yeah,
because I felt like he would have had the hardest time resisting the gauntlet, I think, at full power.
Well, and that was interesting also, because he actually seemed to have the easiest time.
Yeah,
It seemed to affect him the least when he was juiced.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting, but I just wonder if it was full power, wouldn't he have been able to easily just shrug it off, you know?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, no, you are right there, yeah.
Yeah, so should we talk about their subplot? All the I've got a plan.
I got a little muddled, if I'm being honest. It was a little like all over the place. I'm like, okay, hang on, what's going on?
Yeah.
And once Dargo, Aaron, and Crichton were all working together, finally, you know, I liked it, and I had this sense of like, if they were all working together at their full, I guess, capacity or full competency, then they would be a very effective team. But for a large chunk of it, you know, Crichton was having to keep Aaron out of the clouds, and then Aaron was having to drag Dargo, and then Crichton was having to, like, I got flashes of Logan after he sticks himself with the drug and runs off to save X-23 when he was running through the woods. the tease of the three of them working together as well as they did, even as poorly as they did, is enticing. I'm looking forward to more of that.
Because at the moment we've got them each trying to lead, which is a little bit of a problem.
Yeah. It was fun, though. It was fun. Like, the whole episode is pretty fun. And you've got, like, the emotional bits with Zahn. On the planet, though, the outdoor scenes, that's clearly the Australian bush. Like, clearly. Like, I'm like, oh, they're just, like, they're just, like, on the outskirts of Sydney somewhere running through the bushes. Like, yeah, it was clearly.
Now you know how I feel watching a bunch of stuff and be like, yeah, right? that's Vancouver. Yep, that's like, this spot.
They didn't even try to make it look alien, you know? It was just Australian bush.
Do you have that many blue plants in Australia for real?
Well, actually, okay, so they mess around with the color palette a little, but... Yeah. Just like, just lots of like branches and just, I don't know, the trees in general. It just looked very Australian.
I did look up for you. The creator is American. And of course, Ben Browder is American. But essentially every other regular and most of the directors are Australian or New Zealand.
Oh, wow. Okay. Nice. That's really cool.
I was thinking about a lot of the New Zealand productions that were happening around the same time as well, and it being because it was a lot cheaper to shoot in New Zealand than the United States.
Yeah.
And, you know, like The Lord of the Rings, obviously, but also Xena Warrior Princess was shot entirely in New Zealand. Hercules Legendary Journeys, yeah. They cast a lot of New Zealanders, you know, and their Kiwi accents come out when they call her Xener.
Yeah. What's his name from The Boys? I'm blanking. He plays Billy the Butcher in The Boys. Carl Urban.
He
plays Cupid in Xena, I think it is.
And Julius Caesar also. Yeah. We got to start there.
I haven't watched that in a while, but I have such a thing for Carl Urban.
Me too, and I'm straight. Like,
well, you know what? He was also in Star Trek.
Yes, he played Bones, who's my favorite of the three.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. He's just a wonderful actor. I love him. He's great. The Boys is so good. If you haven't seen The Boys, go and watch it. We're not going to talk about it, but just go and watch it. It's great.
It is very good. Yes. As we talk about other things with Australian people in them. but yes. So yeah, it probably was shot like right outside Sydney, as you say. But the color correction thing does, you know, it gives it realistically, you know, somewhat unexpected.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I don't know, but it just stood out to me as Australian bush. No matter what they did to it.
Oh, well.
Not a bad thing, though. Definitely not a bad thing. I felt seen, kind of. You don't get that a lot in American productions, you know?
So what did you think of Dargo's Qualta Blade?
I thought it was cool. It reminded me of like an RPG weapon of sorts. It was cool.
I want a gun sword.
We all do, Josh.
Yeah, but also I think it's interesting that so far when we've seen him fight with it, he's used it in sword form. Like, to me, that speaks about on his character maybe a little bit. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but speaks on his character of wanting to be like in the thick of it, you know?
Yeah.
Clearly, it's a long-range kind of weapon because, like, Aaron is, you know, picking people off from hundreds of yards away.
Yeah, and I did, like, when he gives it to Aaron, she remarks about how, like, heavy it is. It looks heavy.
It does.
Don't know if that was just some great acting from Claudia Black, but that it looked actually heavy.
No, they did a really good job this episode of selling Dargo's physical strength. And not just when he was under the influence, but also just in general. You know, he passes the sword off to her like it's nothing, and she's like, "Oh, excuse me. Wow!"
Yeah, yeah. I did love Dargo when he's wearing the gauntlet on the ship. There was something comical about his performance. He was like a bulldozer. It was great.
I was like genuinely unsettled by his performance.
Well, yeah, I see what you're saying, because it is very intense. Drugged up Dargo was unsettling, but there was also something kind of funny about it. But maybe I've just got a screwed up sense of humor. I don't know.
I find it funny, but I know Dargo.
I think both of you caught what they were going for. I think I was so unsettled because I was also thinking about, is this going to turn into like a Shining ripoff? So this was another pivot point where I thought a convention was being set up. And maybe this is just more my expectations than what any effort the show is putting in. But that they got his gauntlet off at the end of the first act or at the end of the second act, I was like, okay. Yeah. I was expecting an entire episode of Here's Dargo.
Which I kind of would have been okay with, you know?
And so I was getting led down that corridor. And as he kept smashing through the ship, I was like, shit. Oh, God. Oh, wow. Well,
that's the thing. Because Dargo, like, we know that he's very strong. And he's like, from what I understand, his people are warrior people. So, like, if he wanted to, he could fuck shit up, you know?
Clearly.
Like, yeah. So, yeah, that'd be scary. Like, I wouldn't want to be on the ship with him. Not like that.
We will learn more about his people and their issues. I really like how after he wakes up, he's just like, I want to be useful.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. He got real soft and it was real nice.
Yeah. It's just...
I got the sense that he felt really bad too. He was trying to make up for his poor behavior. Mm.
I mentioned in the first episode we did that I had seen some Farscape many, many years ago, and I don't remember it at all, really, but I do, for some reason, have this recollection of really liking Dargo, so maybe something's going to happen coming up, so, yeah.
He is easily likable, even as he's raging out. I mean, maybe not. Maybe Josh didn't find him likable when he was raging out.
I didn't find him likable. I just didn't find him funny.
I get it, though, because it was scary. Like, it would have been scary for those on the ship, you know?
It was well done. Like, I was, you know, Aaron and Crichton running around, they would have been like, you know, the whole time. They were selling it. I was in it.
Yeah. I was about to say the staff, the cast. they're all really good. They're all great actors. Yeah. It's a good company, I think.
They are, I agree.
And I love the attempt at a water balloon. Is the
They were this close. So I was really tracking obviously a power theme throughout the episode. But as I was watching the episode, I was really tracking what seemed to be some commentary on false power, and I really enjoyed it. I was kind of thinking about, like, you've mentioned Sara a few times about how the show has some things to say on masculinity, and so I was looking out for that a little bit, but I was also just thinking about personal insecurity. And you said something a second ago about, you know, we learn about the characters through their failures, and which I appreciated, because I didn't actually pick up on the failure as a theme. I was riding along with false power. So everybody experiences a moment of false power throughout the episode. You know, the gauntlet, obviously, the detoxing Tavlik thinks that his sexuality makes him powerful, and Zahn proves him wrong. We've got two deposed kings in prison where their power doesn't matter there. And then we've got, just in general, this whole group of the whole gang that were the antagonists for the episode. Even at the end, their power didn't really matter either, because Crichton was telling him, like, you know, this guy doesn't matter to anybody except for us, but we can't pay him, so what are you going to do? And for all their power in the world, they won, but they surrendered Rigel back over to Crichton. It was interesting to me also, because especially since we started off the previous episode in this, you know, very, like, fascist lens, and now we're examining what each character reaches for whenever they want to feel secure with themselves. Dargo wants to be in charge and respected, and when he's raging out on the drugs and he's willing to kill when he feels disrespected. Aaron wants to be lethal, and what I make up about that is that she wants to be like she was when she was a peacekeeper. And then Crichton wants to make a difference. He wants to matter. And so that's when he's running off through the woods to be the superhero, to be John Wayne, that he grew up watching. So that, to me, that was the payoff from him mentioning John Wayne earlier in the episode. That's how he'd like to see himself, and maybe that's how he sees his dad. And then obviously, you know, Rigel misses the throne, but most of his story was comedic. And then Zahn just wants to be able to help people, and she couldn't this episode. She couldn't help the guy. So it was unpacking all of that for me while I was watching it. That was my favorite part.
I love that.
That's really astute, Josh. You've completely changed the episode for me now. Like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good. I don't know what to follow it up with. Like, yes, I agree.
I think as well, there is a theme I find through this whole season. There is a theme of loss.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why I like that the official guide has this as second, is because we start with failure and loss. And of course, John, although we haven't really dealt with it yet, is dealing with, he lost his home.
Yeah. Yeah, he's lost in space, like literally.
He is lost, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, they've all lost their homes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
and that feeds into the power, too, because they've all lost their position of power, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to find a new role. One of the things that I found interesting was, I did talk about how this show has interesting stuff to say about masculinity. And I find it interesting that in this episode, I'll let you guys see what you think from here on, but we have a bit of mansplaining from John. Mm-hmm. We have a bit of John assuming that he gets to lead and being hesitant when it's her turn to have a plan.
Right, yeah.
We do have a bit of that. John expects to be listened to. And, nobody expects to follow him.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Because, I mean,
Aaron included.
He is, like, the least experienced in that world of things, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's a big shot back on Earth, but here he's basically a baby, you know? Kind of a big shot on Earth. He's an astronaut and a scientist, but, like, he don't know shit.
Yeah, he's a very smart scientist for humans. He cannot fire a gun without blowing it up.
Right.
I liked that part too.
Good point. Yeah, that's a very good point.
She was like, didn't bunch of techno babble. She was like, didn't you tech the tech? And he was like, what? I just pointed it and pulled the trigger.
Yeah. Things don't work how you expect them to.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your favorite part?
I can't just pick one scene. I love all the Zahn stuff with the Tavlek. I just love all of that. If I had to, I guess the end where she's just like, and she's so just like downtrodden and disappointed. But I love all of that stuff. It was just beautiful and poignant, and she's so warm and nurturing and kind, and I just love that.
I was actually going to say the same moment at the very end, and her last line too was just like, oh, when she goes, no preaching.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Josh, you're killing me again, man. It's just gorgeous.
It was so really good. Well done. Yeah. So mixed feelings, I think, overall for me about the episode, but each of the endings were upticks for me, you know?
My favorite bit is Aaron and Dargo bonding over their shared confusion at Sean.
Yeah. But still taking jabs at each other, too.
And when he lets her fall.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that I genuinely laughed at that, yeah.
Same.
I sort of agree with Josh though. Like, it's an okay episode, not great, but it's still pretty good. Like, there's a lot of stuff to enjoy.
Okay, so next episode is called Back and Back and Back to the Future.
Oh.
It doesn't contain anything that I think anybody needs any warning about, but yeah, Back and Back and Back to the Future.
Exciting.
So thank you folks for joining us. Come again in 2 weeks. Just to let you know, we have now created a Patreon. So the link to that will be in the description or the video doobly-doo.
And just so you know, all our money raised on Patreon will go towards improving the show. One of our goals is to get Josh a decent mic.
Yeah.
you poor thing, Josh.
I'm just a big old nerd. That's all I got going for me.
Yeah. And we also have a Discord now and a Twitter. So all the links to that will be in the doobly-doo, as I said. And if you wanna throw us a buck, we will come up with some Patreon perks at some point.
Mm-hmm.
For now, it's basically just a tip jar.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, and you let us know if you can think of any perks that you'd want Absolutely. To see.
10 seconds of uninterrupted eye contact.
I mean, I think I'm kind of down. What's the Patreon link again? We are going to spend some time brainstorming though, and trying to dress things up and make it worth your time and your money if you choose to support us that way.
We might do some live watches or record the guys watching the episode.
Yeah, like maybe a season finale or something.
Yeah,
that could be fun.
So for now, shall we just tell people where they can find us?
Yeah.
I am Sara Ezat. You can find me on Twitter at BlueStockInSara.
And you can find me on Twitter at LackOfSurprise1. That's all one word with the number one at the end.
Josh is now on Instagram.
I have a brand new Instagram. So far, it's just food and self-care. But it's at Josh Gosden, all squeezed together. And if you want to head on over there and salivate, feel free.
You should go and find Josh. He is wonderful, and you will love him just like I do.
You should go and find Jack. He's a delightful human being who will warm your heart. And you should go check out the Costume Codex on YouTube.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sara makes some of the best content around. You should definitely go and check that out.
Amazing. I notice stuff. Clothes now.
Yeah, like I never considered it until you now, and I'm like, I wonder what Sara would have to say about this.
Like, what? Why did they put him in that?
What does the color mean?
I just passed 700 subscribers.
Congratulations!
Yeah. Way to go!
So yeah, I hate doing self promotion, but thank you guys. You're very, very sweet, and yes,
we will do it for you.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, that's why we did it.
Just blush.
Yeah, there you go. You're fine.
Okay. So, yeah, that is where you will find us if you want more from us. And we will see you again in 2 weeks. Thanks for watching along. And, yeah.
Bye.
Thanks, friends.
Have a good Freling Day. I don't know.
Yes, absolutely. but yeah, it was like,
you have one,
Alexa, stop, leave me alone. Just stop, would you?
Okay, we have our outtake.
I was gonna say, you got a lot of bloopers fodder in this one.